Well, good morning, family of God. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is a day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever situation, He is more than enough, my friend. What a mighty God we serve. Come on, what a mighty God we serve. This is the day that we will rejoice and be glad in it, for He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Welcome in on this August the 27th, 2025. Beautiful morning this morning, just absolutely gorgeous. It is beautiful, and it is going to be beautiful all day long. So enjoy the weather. Enjoy the weather today. It's going to be, let's see here, I'll get you the exact thing if on what it's going to be today. A high of 78 and a low of 51. Tomorrow's a high of 81 and a low of 53. It's going to get a little bit warmer coming into the weekend. Saturday's going to be a high of 83 and a low of 56, but it's still a beautiful day outside in the neighborhood. So go enjoy it. Go enjoy it. It was a great night at the fair last night. Great first night there. And had opportunity to chat with a couple people, not many people, come see us, come be a part of it. I got to meet Brother Gary Cox in person yesterday. He came and chatted with him towards the end there, and got to draw, and we gave away our prize last night to a young lady and a young family named Allison. So congratulations, Allison. And man, it was such a beautiful night, such a glorious night to be a part of the body of Christ. And my son Jackson helped me in the booth, and we had a grand old time there. And so if you're out tonight, come see Brother Tim and Miss Betty. Tomorrow night, Miss Hannah and Miss Sierra will be there, and then I will be back there Friday night and Saturday night. So excited for the rest of this week at the fair there in Grayson County. And here we go, moving on. Got a couple of great announcements coming up here in a minute. And then, of course, if you have Bible questions, you have dialogue you want us to answer, chime in on, please don't hesitate to text 270-230-6337. We love your engagement. We love your interaction. So whatever that is, bring it on. We love it when the family of God interacts with us. This is not the church was never supposed to be a spectator sport. It was supposed to be a participator sport. So participate with us this morning if able. If not, you're just going down the road, then that's fine too. Listen in and hopefully get equipped and encouraged for your day today as we start out in the glory of the Lord. I just want to pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you have made. You are glorious in all of your ways. For all the listeners, for all the ears that will tune in this morning, I ask you to bless their lives. I ask you to bless their families. God, as our kiddos go to school today, may you watch over them and protect them. May you allow them to grow and increase in learning and the ability to comprehend and the ability to focus. Father, we ask you that generational lineages may begin to be shifted today. God, I pray for fathers and husbands that they would rise up and be who God's called them to do. We pray for wives and mothers, God, to do the same, that they would walk in the anointing and the glory of the Father and manifest His light to all those around them. May our kids be born again. May our kids know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And Father, we just ask you to do all this for your glory, your namesake, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Again, we'll be there the rest of the week, so love to see you out there. Ducking Hunger Regatta Labor Day race is right around the corner. It's next Monday, so now is the time to get your duck to help the Grayson County Food Alliance and Miss Debbie Childress, who is always a blessing to us when she comes and joins us in the morning. Next Wednesday night, Kent Cripps Christmas will be at Potter's Hope there on Wednesday, September the 3rd, 6:33 p.m., excuse me. And then, of course, the Tent Revival will be happening the rest of the week here in McDaniels, Kentucky. And Brother Zachary Capps and Brother Mike Furry and a lot of them are over there each night trucking away in the Tent Revival. So blessings and glory to them, blessings to them and glory to God that He may manifest His glory in their presence. And then, of course, you can put it on your calendar. Bush Harbor Service is there in Kennyville, Kentucky, towards the end of September, as well as our Share-a-thons right around the corner, September 24th, 25th, and 26th. You got announcements, 270-230-6337. Again, that number to text. Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
Still full of gratitude this morning. My voice has been a little raspy. Hopefully it'll be better today.
Amen. Voices strengthening in the name of Jesus. Amen. Alrighty. Well, we're in the book of Mark for our Bible study this morning. We're going to flip over to our verse of the day. Verse Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And this is for leaders, but I feel like this verse is essential. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. The reason I use that this morning is I was reading something not too long ago just about the lack of people going into full-time ministry in the pastoral role or an elder role or even a bivocational role. It is dwindling. And I remember whenever I was young at 18 years old and probably really too reckless and had no business preaching. But I remember there was others just like me that was rising up that knew the call of God was on their life, like knew it was on their life to preach and to lead. And it was not something we wanted. It was something that was kind of laid on our heart. And today, there's a big notice in the body of Christ that's not there. Like, there's a lot of people burning in other areas, but there is a clear distinction that the amount of young people that feel called into ministry in the pastoral role or an overseer role is dwindling rapidly. I have a feeling I think there is some causes of that. I think some of it is the wheat and the chaff being sifted, but I think some of it too is a lot of people don't want, they see a lot of the nonsense and the garbage going on and they're deterred by it. And instead of trying to roll up their sleeves and being a part of the solution, they just kind of like, and that's not for me. And so I think that we got to be reminded that the office of an overseer is a noble task. Mm-hmm. And I pray that he would start to raise up more and more young men in this capacity of elder, but young men and women who have that call of God on their life to preach and teach and educate and also to prophesy. And so I think that's a big deal in the body of Christ today. And even a lot of our seminary, and I'm not a huge fan of seminary. But even a lot of our seminarians, they're actually not going to preach or pastor. They're going to do other things and within the body of Christ. And so I understand there's good things about that too, but we need good godly pastors being raised up, without a doubt. We need good godly pastors being raised up, and that's lacking in the body of Christ today. So, yeah, I just use that verse today to kind of catapult that thought a little bit. So, alrighty.
Yeah, that's concerning for the future of the church. Well,
what's it look like? Let's see here. Give me a second. I saw the statistic the other day, and it was actually a little bit shocking to me. I didn't think it was. What would you say the average age of a pastor is in the United States?
I think I guessed this before. Like 60s.
It's 57. But
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's higher age, but the amount of pastors quitting every month statistically is about, I don't know, I think I read it like somewhere time like 2,000 to 4,000 each month quit. And I think some of it could be the Lord sifting, some of it could be the stress, some of it could be a lot of different things. And of course, as a pastor, you always feel the weight of it. But, yeah, I'm not going to make this whole morning about leadership, but I do think it was worth the verse of the day just to,
yeah, bring up that prayer point.
Cause I think we need to pray about that. Like, God raise up young, on fire, godly, next generation. That's ready to lead and ready to take the reins. I think that's very important in the body of Christ today. So
I think you see more evangelists, don't you? Wouldn't you say, like, people who feel like they're called to evangelists?
I think evangelism is a push in the body, period. And I think evangelists, we all are called to do the work of evangelists.
Yeah.
Even pastors are called to do that. So I think.
But, like, don't you think you hear that more? I feel like I've heard more from younger people more on evangelism than, like, I just really feel like the Lord's calling me to preach and lead. You know,
I would say
which probably should be normal. I mean, everybody can't lead. So it would be normal for more people to have that drive for evangelism.
Yeah. But I agree. I think there is that drive because it's a season we're in to make sure we're seeing souls saved without a doubt in the body of Christ. I guess my concern coming into that is what I voiced earlier is, I remember I could probably name, like, just not in the church that I was at, but at that point, there was probably about 10 of us in this county alone, 10 to 12 of us that were younger men that felt the call into ministry and started to preach at that same time. And today, honestly, I don't know one young man in this county that feels called and starting to preach. Like, I can't think of one off the top of my head that has that hunger to actually to preach the gospel and preach the word. I mean, like, going down the street, but I think that's part of the church. But I think in the capacity of teaching and
like to lead a body,
I don't know one young man right now that I know. And I think that's concerning, like, that has that call and burden. Because I think as much as that call to go evangelize is there, and we push that hard because that's the missiology of the church, is to go and preach the gospel. We need equippers too, because he gave the church the fivefold giftings for the edification of the saints. And if we start, we can't negate that too. Like, that's our mistake. What happened? We focus so internally in the church, we forget the going out. But we can't get so focused on the going out that we forget the eternal internal working of the church either. It's got to be a balance. And We made a train wreck because we negated one. Let's not overcorrect and negate the other now. If that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense. But it is a concerning thing in my head, so in my heart, that I'm seeing. And I read that article not too long ago. So just remember, as 1 Timothy 3:1 says, like, it is a noble task to desire for the office of the overseer. Don't take it lightly, but it is a noble task. And I think we should just be reminded of that. It shouldn't be a burdensome or, oh, I don't want to. Like, it's a noble thing to do. And I think that's what Paul was reminding us of there. Sorry, I didn't mean to get preachy this morning, but it is a prayer point that I think we should focus on a little bit and pray into. Like, God, begin to raise up godly young people that are ready to prophesy and to pray and to lead and not be afraid, be bold, and also be willing to be equipped and discipled and trained in it too. So, amen. Jacob, how are you doing?
Good. How about you all?
Excellent. I'm already preaching this morning.
Yeah, I've been listening. I've been thinking. I've lost scriptures coming to my head, but about the we was talking about the average age being 57, and kind of look at. I've been thinking of Malachi, about where he talks about he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the father. I was thinking 1 Corinthians about 4:15, where though you have countless gods in Christ, you don't have many fathers. And I'm just sitting there thinking, Lord, have we been so busy about doing certain things that we haven't, like teaching so much, that we forgot to be the fathers, you know? Because, I mean, you could pull up so many preachers and learn all kinds of stuff. And, you know, they're preaching so many people. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, have we truly fathered like we should?
Yeah.
And I think that's the inspiration, like Aaron said, have we, they see these men of God and you see, like, so many people falling. And they're kind of like, you know, I don't want to be that guy. You know, and maybe, and, like, you know, not a lot of people see it. these churches out in the country, you know, they're seeing mainstream most of the time, mm-hmm. or the church that they're going to, or, you know, maybe they're not going to church, but they just, maybe we've had some bad, like imitators, you know.
Yeah.
I like it when Paul said, I'll send you Timothy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like God saying, I'm going to send you somebody to help take care of the situations. And so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it is a fathering issue, because fathers reproduce. And I think in the body of Christ, so often we get into building platforms and not people.
Yeah.
And when you build platforms, you're not replicating yourself. You're True. Just getting people to watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there was a verse that came to my mind right there. There was a season during the time of King Saul where there was no blacksmiths in Israel. The Philistines had pretty much taken them all out. And it was so strategic, because if you took out the blacksmiths, you didn't have swords.
Yeah.
And if you took out the blacksmiths, there was no equipping for war.
Yeah.
So they were trying to go to war without swords because the blacksmiths had been taken away. And I think that's what happens when you lose the fathering and the mentoring and the mothering, and you build platforms, is you have a lot of excitement, but you have no swords.
Yeah.
Because what you got is platforms.
Yeah.
And you got popularity, and you got large followings, you got large groups, but you don't have individual pouring in, discipleship, really seeing people
yeah.
built.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're
fine. I was just thinking, Hannah told us to watch that Casting Crowns documentary. Dude, you need to watch it. It's pretty wild, pretty powerful. When he told the I'm trying not to cry, because I mean it was so powerful that, I mean, that's when you're talking about this today, they said they found him, they're like, oh, no, you know, you're the next thing, you're the it thing, this is what we want. And like he said, Stephen Curtis Chapman calls him, you know, and he's like, this is like the hero, like my hero in the, you know, in the industry. And they was like, oh, we're going to bring you in, we're going to do this. And then he said, first thing I want you to know is I'm youth pastor. This is what I am. I'm not going to, you know, negate that. I have to be back at my home church to every Sunday. And they're like, we don't even know how this is going to even work, you know. And he said, I'll submit it to my pastor. Hey, watch over me. Help me, you know, kind of be that guard, mm-hmm. and make sure that I don't go off the path. And I'm like, that was, you know, pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Knowing that you could be famous and make all this money, but hey, watch over me. Make sure that I don't veer off path. And they kept saying, he said, you don't understand. I'm not an artist. We're not just people. He said, I'm not a group. I'm a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. And he said, I always will be that. That's what God called me to do. I mean, that just, I don't know. There's more to it, but it was just so powerful to show that these men of God would take their, and they would take their families. That's what really hurt me. You know, like most of these people go out and travel without their family. He said, we made it a priority. Our families are going to be on the bus, and I'm spending time with them. Mm-hmm. Before we go do these things. And they would just go Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and fly back on Sunday to be hot back home. And it was like, you don't hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear that a lot in mainstream stuff. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Powerful. Powerful.
And that's the dedication. You know, it wasn't built overnight. You
no.
know, he started somewhere.
Yeah.
But I do think we're not, like, that's the kind of dedication that we need to pray for these people rising up,
yes,
to be the youth leaders and the leaders of the body, you know, that there is that passion for the people,
yeah,
for yeah. their souls, you know,
yeah,
for their lives.
And I think we've got people, and I want to correct a statement I made. I think we have people that's willing to teach the word,
yeah,
but I think what Paul is saying here is bigger than somebody just willing to teach the word,
yeah.
like.
Mm-hmm.
Like to lead a Bible study or something. These are people who really want to lead the body of Christ forward and
yeah.
to watch over and to protect and to give their life to praying and fasting and protecting the purity and the doctrine
yeah.
of the church.
Yeah.
And these are people that are not just entertained by preaching a cute sermon or even preaching a Bible study. These are people who's willing to give their life to the church.
Yeah.
And to make sure she is ready for what God has for her in the earth today. And It's a noble task. And so, but that doesn't, most of the time, that's not by accident. Like, the greatest elders and leaders that I know, they knew it. Like, they knew they were called into that area. Because it's not because you're a good businessman or because you make good decisions. It's because God's called you.
Yeah.
And you have this deep place of prayer, this deep place of the word, and you got a deep place of spiritual oversight. And you know how to love, and you know how to lead, and you know how to, you have this conviction. And as Jeremiah said, it's a fire shut up in your bones. Like, Amen. You can't, it's not about preaching a sermon. It's about seeing lives changed and people loving Jesus more. And you're willing to give yourself to the purity, holiness, and the vision and the missiology of the church. Like, it's, and this is a noble task. So my prayer is that God would raise up people for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. Raise them up. And it doesn't happen when you're 50. Most of the time you get that calling and desire earlier than that. And you may not step into it immediately, but I think you feel it, because then you realize I've got to point my life in that direction.
Exactly.
And I need to prepare my own heart now for what God has, because I think, unfortunately, what's happened, and we're going to butcher Mark here. I think, unfortunately, what happened, we've made it such a light thing to be that, because we have so many churches in America and we have so many people in that role. The significance and weightiness of that role seems to be desensitized or corrupted, almost, to an extent. I don't know the vocabulary I want to use here, but I think we take it as a light matter now, and I think because the lightness of it, we don't ponder on it.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it's kind of like we've become desensitized to the weightiness of the responsibility. And because there's so many churches, like, and every church is going to have them. So when you have 240 churches in a county or whatever, I don't know, like, I forgot how many churches there was in the state of Kentucky. I looked the other day, it was a ridiculous amount. Like, it was crazy amount, not like in the sense of why would we have that many, but it's like there was a lot. Like, it was a bigger number than I thought it would be. And you're thinking every one of those churches has them.
Yeah.
And some of them on fire, some of them not. I think if we're not careful, we'll lose the significance and the weightiness and the nobleness of what it is to be an overseer or an elder in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And it's a great, heavy, weighty anointing.
Mm.
And it's a calling, not a responsibility. Like, it's not just something we do of, well, somebody has to do it, so I might as well. Like, no, it's a calling.
Yeah.
It's got to be a calling, not an opportunity. And it's a calling. And I think there's a, I don't know, I just really love that verse. It speaks to me a lot. And oh, all right.
The Lord will raise them up, though.
I like that woman on the war.
Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. We were talking to the kids about King Josiah. I was like, Lord, if you can raise up an eight-year-old
king, yeah.
Lord, you can do it.
Yeah.
But it's got to be. Gotta be him.
Also, too, it's like the Lord's been showing me to pull that gift out of them, pull the calling out of them. Like, some of them are just walking around. I was just listening to Philip on the way when I was in the truck. I just turned on that 2819 guy. I don't remember his last name. I just know it's Philip. He says, talking about that, these children, you know. And how I lost my train of thought now, but he just, there was so much impactful because we was talking, well, y'all, it was all going together, what y'all were talking about here, and just like taking these kids and pouring into them, pouring our lives out into them, pulling out the giftings and come boldly before the throne. And I keep hearing that in my spirit, that are we coming boldly before the throne? Are we coming boldly to that? To the next generation and saying, hey, it's time. Call out that from within them. You know, hey, I see that. I recognize that gift. If it wasn't for those who recognized the gift on my life and fathered me, like Larry and Brother Ron and a couple others, it was almost kind of like they just pulled it out of me, you know, because I didn't understand a lot of things, you know, and I didn't think I was some hot shot, you know, I didn't know a whole lot, but they seen things in me and they pulled it out of me, and there was things that I didn't know it was even in there, and they helped guide me, and they helped pull it out, and I feel like that maybe, possibly, we've gotten so busy with everything else that we've not pulled it out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm I told the Lord, I said, I want to submit myself, and whatever who you put in my life, and he's put a few in my life, I want to pull that gift out of them. You know, I want to be able to recognize it and encourage them and build them up and pull that out of them, because I see and recognize it, and I feel like the enemy's just trying to distract them, you know, with so many different things. So I think that we, as fathers, that's the one big thing we try to do. We recognize that on our kids, or even just people. Maybe he's put some young people in your path, maybe, or even some young adults. I mean, even Josh was talking about that the other day. We was talking about how we want to pull out that because we're getting older, but we want to pull out that in the younger generation, you know, teens and college age kids like you guys, and pour out what God's poured into us. And I think that, to me, is what Malachi is talking about. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and sons to fathers. Mm-hmm. Not trying to, and I think for a long time, I feel like there's been a competition between the fathers and the sons.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to like, hey, you're not going to outdo me. Man, I want the next generation to blow us out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to go, I want our ceiling to be your all's floor. I mean, that's the desire, I think it should be, of every generation. I want you all to never start from the bottom up. I want you all to start from this, the ceiling of me, for you can walk on that and keep going to the next level. And I think that we'll see that in the coming. I think maybe God said we had to tear down some things in order to build it back up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
Yeah, I agree. I think from the flip side of that, from the people that are being called, there's a lot of them that are in that place where they're just waiting on someone to help.
Yeah.
Just help them or pour into them. Because there is a decrease in people who know their word right now. There's a decrease in fathers in general. Like, families are completely split apart. And so I think a lot of things are playing into this. Whenever we were talking about the stats or whatever, yeah. I think there's a lot of factors playing into this. So we need to pray into what the Lord would have us to do. And I just really feel like there's a lot of people in hiding.
Yeah.
That the Lord has anointed, but they haven't yet came out mm-hmm. of where they're at.
Yeah.
And they are going to need people. They're going to need, like, people in the church to help pull things out of them, help teach them, because they're probably not going to know anything.
Yeah. You know, I will gonna go to break. I've been watching this one guy a whole lot on YouTube because I'm trying to learn how to I just learned how to re-eat, and now I'm having to learn how to re-eat again because my targets changed a little bit. I'm still on my healthy manner. Actually, it's probably even healthier than I was before with the macros and counting everything from carbs to fat to everything. And it's insane. Like, I think eating has become a full-time job now in my life. And but I'm watching this one guy who's incredibly, like, in shape. Like, he's incredibly ripped. He's like a hero of mine at this point. But he has this huge following on YouTube, like massive. His channel's big. And he does a lot of scripture, and he does a lot of other things. Like, he incorporates tons of stuff into his workout channel. It's always flashing scripture up. It's always some kind of principle. He even does other videos that's not, like, you know, Lord, I, like, almost like little mini sermons and stuff. It's crazy. It's really good. I love it. But the thing that I always love to watch the most is, and he does some crazy stuff, and he always has his shirt off, so that's a little weird. But I guess if he was that ripped, he probably would too. But it was like, what I love, though, is to see the videos with his boys, because he's raising them. And he's talking about generational curses, and he's talking about how discipline and consistency, and he's got his boys doing push-ups with him. He's got his boys working out with him. He's got his boys eating with him. He's got his boys, and those ones just stir me
mm-hmm.
because it's just not about building a platform for him. This is his life, and he's breaking generational curses off of his kids, and how many other young men is he showing, hey, you can work out and love Jesus, you can be a man and love Jesus, and you don't have to watch this pornography. And he hits secular music so hard. He keeps making videos, why I quit listening to secular music, and he keeps on. And it's like this, and it doesn't just have to happen behind pulpits, absolutely. I'm going to preface this to say we need more godly men to be ready for pulpits and leadership. But Jacob is right. It's a bigger issue of fathering and mothering and really poor. And that's why I honor and appreciate men like Brother Rick, who's willing to go to the gym and take these boys under his wing. And, I know the Lord's, there's another young man that I've really grown to love and to think a lot of, and just, I feel like getting closer with. And even though we don't work out together, workout has been the bonding, like just getting to talk about it, but it's sharpening. And it's not just about working out, but it's like, what you can find in life. And Iris, I was changing my wife's oil the other day. She's like, hey, I think I kind of want to learn that. Like, I might need to change my own oil one day. And as father, whenever you're just concerned about your platform, you pour into people when it builds that. When you're concerned about fathering a mother, you'll take three or four under the car with you and show how to change the oil. You'll show them how to open the door for the girls. You'll show them how to be kind. You'll show them to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You'll show them what it is to be a disciple of Christ. You'll offer to babysit the kids. And I keep on trying. Nobody ever lets me, though. I'm starting to get offended at this,
baby,
actually.
Andrea.
I'm starting to get a little offended. Nobody ever lets me babysit. We're always offering free babysitting, and no one ever lets us. I appreciate this conversation. Because I appreciate it, because we are not where we were in it. I feel great growth. I see great growth just in the man plan group, the Trailblazers. I see great growth in other ministries. I see other people growing in this. And older generation, let me just speak to you for a minute. Sometimes it feels like, why does everything just revolve around the younger generation? Like, why? It's because you should be mature by now. And you shouldn't be on the milk. You should be on the meat. And you shouldn't have to have somebody feeding you. You should be able to feed others. So that, why does it always have to be about the other ones? It could be a manifestation of your immaturity. And I love you enough to tell you that. It could be the Spirit of God dealing with your own heart to say, maybe I don't have to be babysitted all the time. Maybe I don't need to be entertained. Maybe I should be taking people to lunch. Maybe I should be pouring into the younger generation. Maybe I should be praying for, instead of always needing prayer, maybe I should be interceding for. And I'm not saying you never need prayer, but I'm saying I think there's a manifestation of the immaturity that manifests in the revelation of, or even the falsehood or the ideology. Why is it not about me? It's because it's not about you. It's about those who don't know him, knowing him. It's about those that are immature and on the milk. Those who know how to eat meat, teach them how to eat meat. And what if you were 60 years old and there's no reason? I mean, I understand there's sometimes medical issues or something like that. But what if you're 60 years old and there's no physiological excuse for it and you're still taking a bottle?
That's true.
Your kids would starve. Because your kids are, you're expecting your kids to feed you. And now if there's a physical situation or something like that, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just a normal situation. But in the body of Christ, we're there. We've got people who've been born again for 40 years still expecting the pastor to put a bottle in their mouth and feed them. And man, I think that's what that manifestation, and that's what that irking in you. I'm not talking about like never have anything for older people. I'm not talking about that. Like, but I'm saying don't get so disturbed, because really we need you. 40-year-olds need 60-year-olds. 20-year-olds need 40-year-olds. 20-year-olds need 60-year-old. 60-year-olds need 20-year-old. Like, we all need each other.
Yes.
But we need you to rise up. And we need you to start mentoring and fathering and praying and interceding and showing up at prayer meetings and coming. And I love it. I love when I see people. Jackson's hardly ever misses a prayer meeting. He's probably, I love it when I see the 13-year-old Jackson, the 24, 25-year-old Hannah's and Ethan's and Kaylee's and Sarah's with babies and kids and all that. Your 40-year-old's me. Your 55-year-olds, your 60-year-olds, your 75-year-olds, your elders, your older ladies, your younger men. That's what a prayer meeting has to look like.
Yeah.
That's what a prayer meeting's got to look like. And I think when we see this manifest and, you know, older people, there's an assignment on your life. Like, you're not done.
Exactly.
You're not done. Mm-hmm. And you're not here to be entertained. You're not. You're here to equip, disciple, mature, pray for, edify, give, sow, teach, all these things into the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And we need you.
I know. I was just thinking about my grandmother, you know. I remember as a kid watching her. Every night she'd read that Bible, you know, and I'd sit and watch her reading it, you know. Just kind of like, what is she reading? I was probably like 5 or 6 years old. Maybe 7, I think I remember a little bit. But it wasn't like one time. She read it every night.
That's key right there.
And it was steadfastness that I seen in her, that she stood firmly every night, consistent. She was reading it. And she taught me a little bit. She would tell me little stories, you know, that I would understand. And she used to tell me about so many different stories in the Bible, you know, like you would learn. But it was that intimate moment with my grandmother that marked me later on, because I believe it was her instilling something in me at a young age, even if I didn't understand it completely. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mom used to, they'd go to church sometimes, and then, you know, they'd get on this, they'd come, you know, they'd go for a while and then quit coming and stuff, you know, it's how why we were raised. And I remember telling my mom, I said, Mom, we need to go to church. And my mom said, I felt so awful because I had not taken that stance to take them. And here my son is telling us, can we go to church? So we'd do it again. You know, we'd go for a while. And but I thank God for my mom. You know, she did always try to do her best with us and pour that, taking us to hear the word of God. And we had an uncle that was a preacher. But, you know, it was just, you think about those little moments in your life where little pockets of God showing his grace to you and mm-hmm. how he was just reminding you don't have to be perfect. Just keep the desire and keep coming after the Lord. You know, if you feel like maybe you're trapped or maybe you don't understand it, just find somebody, you know, go to a pastor of a church or find somebody who you can just talk to and say, hey, I just need help. You don't have to understand it. There's understanding out there. Ask God to help you, guide you into those places. And there's a lot of people, and I think that if we'll be willing, and I think there's a lot, like you were talking about, Hannah, the ones in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if we'll just submit ourselves, the older ones too, to finding those that you can pour into. And not just, you know, it don't have to be like, let me show you how much I know. Let me show you how much I can pour into. You know, like, get to understand them. Talk to them. You know, just a normal conversation. It don't have to be weird. You know, like, hey, let me pour into you. It needs to be like, hey, like, in order for me to submit to you, I have to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to submit the giftings and callings in my life to somebody else, I have to understand that you're for me and not trying to manipulate me, you know, and to getting something you want. I think that to me is what I believe the purity of it is. The hearts of the fathers is truly going to the sons and the sons to back to the fathers. We're not getting anything out of this. We're not trying to take advantage of your gift, because I've had that happen in the past. You know, hey, I'm gonna use you to hear the Lord, and then I'm gonna take it. You know what I'm saying? I've had that happen. So be careful who you submit your gift to. But I believe God is gonna raise up men and fathers that really want to magnify that gift in you to mm-hmm. raise you up. And I think that's going to happen. I believe that God's going to start doing that. Like, how many times that I remember being when we used to travel on these dance teams, and I heard people say, well, I don't know much about it, but I want to pay for your gas for where you are going. And, you know, because we were married, me and Kirstie were married, and we was young, 19, 20 years old. We didn't have a lot of money to go to these places. And some of these people, that these older ones poured into us, is, hey, let me fill your tank up. Let me give you some money to do this. I mean, maybe that's what God's called you to do. Maybe you're the financier to some younger generation, you know. Maybe, you know, you're busy about doing things, and maybe God's gave you a big bank account. He didn't make it just for you to just sit there and live this quiet little life. Oh, man, I got this all this money. He gave you, I think a lot of times we forget that he gives you the increase for you to pour out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes he's never give us to just fill it up to hold on to it.
Yeah.
He says, let's pour it out. Let's give it back. Because we can't outgive God. And I think if we hold on to things, God says, okay, if you're going to hold on to it, I'm going to start taking other things away.
Yeah.
You know?
Reminds me of our statement, blessings and increase to go to the nations for
souls and more souls. If that's on our heart, like, God gave me a gift to get, he gave me the breath in my body to go out here and work. I got responsibilities. I understand that. We all understand responsibilities. But out of the overflow, what are you doing with it? What are you giving to out of the overflow? You know, out of everything else that you're responsible, not you're supposed to do, out of the overflow, what are we doing? And it don't have to be money. It could be time. What's your overflow time? You know, overflow, that are you giving back to somebody? Even if you're tired, sitting on the couch, call somebody. Say, hey, I'm pretty tired tonight, but I want to call you and check on you. I want to tell you about, you know, hey, what's going on? That, to me, will build relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we, like, you know, hey, somebody comes across your mind, call them. I remember Jeremy used to call me all the time. He'd say, you know, you came across my mind. And that meant more to me than something, you know, hey, somebody's thinking of you.
Mm-hmm.
Really thinking of you. And I think we forget that. Hey, let's build each other up. The Bible is talking about building one another up in the faith. I think that, to me, is, you know, take this, the whole counsel of God. And like, I feel like if we'll take that and hey, if it's not a mistake that somebody's name comes across your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess if you're just watching a video or something, maybe that, you know, of somebody old, but, you know, just randomly somebody's name come across your mind, pray for them. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't know, you ain't talked to them in 20 years, pray for them.
Or call them.
Call them. If they got the same number, call them. So, I mean, I know that happens a lot. So I think that being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and how we move forward is very key to this, what God's about to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Being very sensitive how we move, how we take counsel, you know, with each other, and how we take counsel from different things and what God's about to do. So I didn't mean to go off on a rabbit trail, but God is good. He's awesome.
But it's good. Yeah, I think that's part of it. It's really good.
Amen.
Well, through break and everything.
Hannah, do you have a kingdom corner?
Yes, let me find it.
Do you want to hold that till 8 o'clock? Because I got a, you and Jacob will have 8:30 by yourself. I'm going to be chapel.
You have a chapel? Okay.
Yep.
And then we're supposed to have a friend of Brother Waleed. His name's, I struggle to say his name, but Masri is easier to say of his name. But I think it's Fawad. Masri, he is a evangelist, and he has a specific testimony. I think I believe that he is Muslim, and his radical transformation into faith. And I know that he has a ministry with evangelism, and we trust Brother Waleed around here that we love him. So he recommended him a while back, and we've been able to schedule him for today. So hopefully that works out for this morning, because I know that he does a lot for the kingdom. So
Amen.
That should be at 8:30, a call in.
Hallelujah.
But yes, we can save.
All righty. Well, yesterday we started this conversation, and I feel like there's some more to unpack of communication and improving our communication. We mentioned a few things yesterday about listen twice as much as you talk, value the person that you're in communication with. What you say is important, but how you say it just as important. Don't be condescending. Don't be derogatory. You may say the profound truth, but if you say it with arrogance or jerkiness, then it's not. It will deafen the hearers of what you're saying. And then we talked about gentleness in our conversations. A couple things that we didn't get to yesterday that I just wanted to take time to do today is this should go without saying, but I think it's truthful. Is actually truthfulness. Like Hannah mentioned it briefly, say what you mean and mean what you say. But I think there's no such thing as a white lie. Mm-hmm. Like a little white lie. Mm-hmm. A lie is a lie. And I know sometimes, like, even when retelling stories, I'm horrible at it. And sometimes Heather's like, that's not how it went. And I'm like, well, I didn't mean to. I just don't remember how it went. So. But I think we have to be careful on that, because then we get into exaggeration, and that fish that was once 3 pounds was now 8 pounds, and that burger that was once a quarter pounder now turned into a pound and a half burger. Like, our exaggerations, and I'm guilty as anybody. Like, I am. Like, we're all guilty of this. Yeah. Like, we can't lie about it. Like, you know,
we can't lie about lying.
Yeah, we can't lie about lying. Like, we just need to confess it and ask for healing. All right, we need to ask for forgiveness and restoration and deliverance. And I think that so many of us are prone to it, don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And then whenever we're, and I think it hurts our ability to be heard. And I feel like in communication, especially when you're a leader or even with your family, with your kids, you all talked about consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Being honest with your kids. Like, I've struggled with that, because I think every parent has struggled with that. Like, in the sense of, are we there yet? Oh, yeah. We're 5 minutes away, and we're really 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know? And I think we don't mean much by it. We're trying to get them to shut up. But in reality, we're telling them, we'll be here in a minute.
Yeah.
But then they're going to, if we lie to them, why should they trust us?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's over something like that. That's why, and let's not go into details on this, but that's why over certain holidays and certain things, we have chosen, if our kids want to celebrate them or something like that, that's fine. Like, I don't care. Like, we're not going to, like, you know, like, but we are very honest. Like, hey, you know, about certain holiday figures, we're honest about it. Now, we don't, like, if they want to put a hat of somebody in our house or something like that, we're not like, oh, okay, cool, I'll wear it. But we're not going to deceive them. Does that make sense? Because we're very honest with them. We've always been. But we've also told them, you know, like, don't run to school and blab to everybody. Like, you know, if somebody asks you, you can be truthful, because that's what we're trying to teach you. But I think as parents sometimes, we lie to our kids and think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel convicted about that at times. And because it is something I think every parent's probably done. Jacob, have you ever done it? It's just confessional time. And I like, I, or is this, I'm, is this just my confessional time? Am I the only parent out there?
No,
ever
you
done
tell
it?
On me all the time what I do. So.
Oh, that was just one time. Well, I didn't tell you. Kylie did. All right. The greatest thing is she told on you in front of the worker too.
Like, shh.
but I do, but that with our spouse, like, you know, and even with each other to an extent, like, have you ever just been having a miserable day and somebody comes up to you and says, how are you? Oh, doing great. Like, I don't think you should be like, my day has stunk, bro. Like, but just be like, it's been a tough one. Do you care to pray for me? Like, why are we so scared to talk like that? Like,
true.
It's almost like we're embarrassed. Like, no, it's, if Jacob comes up to me, it's been a tough one. And that doesn't release me get to gossip and mouth to him. Just say,
yeah,
it's been a tough one. Do you care to pray for me? Like, what would our communicational skills, trust factor, and maybe even our life, how would it change if we were more honest with our speech, but sure, loving and honorable too? Not introducing, like, gossip central or you know, become the person that everybody turns away from in Walmart because you are Eeyore in the flesh.
Or give every single detail, yeah, like a play-by-play. We don't need that, but...
Play-by-play.
But if it's a bad day, say, you know what? I'm not having a great one. Do you care to just say a prayer for me right now?
Yeah.
What would that do?
Mm-hmm. Like, I think people are afraid to be vulnerable, maybe.
Well, without a doubt.
I mean, maybe vulnerability is, to them, count. Some people see vulnerability as weakness. But I see it as strength.
I tell them myself all the time, so...
Well, I think, like Hannah said, I think play-by-play might be a little too much, but hey, I'm really struggling today, guys, you know. Just been battling some stuff, and I think trusting people is really a hard thing sometimes because you don't know if they're going to just, like, judge you or – and I think that goes back to that thing I was reading, come boldly before the throne. If you're – I think that's why people don't approach – like, we don't see the altars flooded like we used to because people are afraid somebody might think bad of them, you know. And I think I want that scripture really hit me today for some reason. Come boldly before the throne. That in times of need that you might need, you know, to obtain grace and mercy. And I was just thinking, man, when's the last time we've come boldly before the throne? You know, we're like, oh goodness, what people are gonna think of me, you know, if I'm going up there and to the altar, or maybe if I confess something to them, or are they gonna, you know, it's always something that we're thinking of the result's gonna be bad, mm-hmm, if we are vulnerable to somebody. And I think the biggest thing is, if we can't come to Jesus about things, how are we gonna go to people about things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I
pray a lot of times that people will give in to the spirit that's drawing them. Because, I mean, yeah. I remember being a kid in church or a teenager in church or whenever, even an adult. And, like, I don't know how people can – I have fought my conviction before. I've fought the drawing before.
Yeah.
But it is not fun to fight the Holy Spirit.
No, it ain't.
It is not fun. I mean, talk about a fire shut up in your bones. Like, you feel like your whole body is about to just explode. Like, I mean, when the Spirit is really drawing you and leading you, like, if you fight against that, it's... I just came to the point where... And if people are your God still, then, I mean, you're going to bow down to people.
Yeah.
But, I just had to get to the point where me getting what I need from the Lord is so much more... Like, it's going to... If I miss out on that, it's going to affect me the rest of the week. It's going to affect me the rest of my life. These other people, they're not even going to be concerned about my life. Like, they're living their own life.
Yeah.
You know, and I pray that for people. I'm like, let them see that this is so much bigger than this moment right now.
Hmm.
This, them responding and going to the altar or whatever the Lord's leading them to do. But a lot of times in church, it is going to the altar. Let them see that this is so much bigger than this moment and people's judgment, because those judgments, they're going to be off doing their own thing, and you're going to be sitting in bondage.
True.
While they're busy doing their own thing.
True.
And it's like, so you just had, you know, I think everybody's been there where you don't want people to see you and you don't want to be vulnerable. But when we start to weigh out the options of, like, which one is worth it? Like, is it worth it to please everybody for this moment, so, and then me be totally miserable? Or do I want to find out what's on the other side of that scary step?
Yeah.
I want to find out what freedom could really look like?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. And the last thing I wanted to say on communication, because when it come back from break, I won't be here and probably move on. So I feel like here, and my wife tells me sometimes I think I overdo it because a preacher in me comes out. But I think, especially pertaining to your kids, when you answer no or yes, always just don't let it be a yes or no. Sometimes explain why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I over-lecture, I think, and my wife kind of gets me on that one. Like, I think that's like the teacher or preacher in me, like, well, here's the Greek of this, kids. Like, let's go. Like, or, you know, I'll go too deep into the lecture. And but, like, you know, I remember one time me and Nolan had a conversation about baseball, and because there was a possibility we was going to have to play on a Sunday. And I just had to tell him, like, you won't be there. And even though I'm the coach, I won't be there. Now, I could have just said, we're not going, and left it at that. But I took time to explain why. Like, there's conviction. And anytime we put something in front of the Lord, because for me, going to church is not a duty. It's not a hobby. It's not a bad thing. It's not even when it's convenient or comfortable. Going to church for me on Wednesday and Sunday is a necessity for me and my family. Like, mm-hmm. it's not an option. It's not a anything, because we're going to worship with God's people and we're going to grow in the Word. I believe in those moments, I'm teaching them to put the Lord above everything. Like, it doesn't matter if it's baseball. It doesn't matter if it's a family group eventing or now vacation once or twice a year. That's different. Like, nobody's going to throw that off. Like, you know, it's like we're out of town. Like, so that's different. But like, no one wanted to go to the fair tonight because a lot of his friends are going. And I just said no. And I explained to him why. Like, for us, it is a conviction. Like, it's for me, and I want that conviction in you, because I've seen over the years, even in my own life, when my family stopped taking me to church.
What happened?
And other things started to get in front of me. Even if it was other things that were, unquote, quote, good and not evil, not inherently bad, it still showed me as a teenager there was that church wasn't important. And I just stopped going. Like, I remember being 12 and stopped going on certain Sundays because we were going to go do something else. And then I remember by 14, I never went. And on 16, it wasn't even a thought. And it wasn't until I started dating a girl at 18, 17, 18, that's the only way I could see her outside of school, and that's how I ended up going. And then I got born again in the midst of that. But it wasn't because my family was taking me to church. And I'm not trying to bash my family or anything. Like, I learned that as a teenager. And I had to tell – so I was – like, I had to teach no one last night. And I tried not to over-lecture, but I tried to – and I wasn't bashing anybody else that does make that decision. That's their decision to make. But I said, as for us, this is why we're not. Yeah. And I think that when we communicate, we need to communicate clearly, convictionally, and with Scripture. And especially whenever we're raising our kids. Yeah. And that's that conversation. I know I had the same thing about baseball. Eliza gets so mad at me because, you know, you're not wearing those shorts again. Dad, why? Well, this is why. You've got to honor your own body.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord gave you that. And I don't care if you're 9'10" or if you're 90, you're going to honor that body. And so don't just, especially when you have authority over somebody, whether it's your kids, whether you are a manager in your job, whether you are a CEO of a company, whatever it is, don't just say yes or no. Educate. Use communication to build people. And be very honest with it. And when you got to make a decision, like, you know, with the baseball thing when it was coming up, like, I was like, that's going to be everybody's decision to make. But as for us, this is the reason we're making this decision, because I want you to know how important it is to be in the body of Christ. And that's kind of like how, even with my own kids being the only ones in Sunday school in their class. First of all, I honor Jeremiah and Sarah for continuing to show up to teach it. I honored them tremendously for it. We've given her a couple breaks since she had a baby, okay? Now, not many more weeks off. Like, it's time to get back in there. But just kidding, Jeremiah, sir, if you're listening. But the reason I keep making
like, my
them...
my kids depend on this, y'all.
The reason I keep making them is because I'm communicating them through my actions and my parenting. This is important.
Yeah.
And if I don't teach them that important, guess what they won't do to their children?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, we've got to teach, and we got to communicate with our words and action clearly what is convictional, what is important, and that is communication. And that was the last thing I wanted to say. That is not to bash anybody that goes to fair tonight. Please don't hear that. Like, I love you. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, we have a booth there, so there's gonna be people from here that, and I'm not saying that. I'm saying as for me and my house.
Yeah.
This is my conviction, and this is because what one generation tolerates, another generation is dominated by. And I want to show my kids, even if it's just them, the importance of being there and being in the midst of God's people, training, learning, teaching, equipping, loving, and being in the body of Christ. And I'll say this last thing, we're going to break. I was so proud of my son last night. Gary said the same thing to me. Jackson has got to the point where even with a stranger, he'll just go up and shake that firm hand and say, "Hello, sir, how are you?" And look him right in the eye. You know where he learned that from? Church. That's he learned how to shake hands and learn how to introduce and talk to people and welcomes. You know how he learned that? In the body of Christ. You know where he learned to run to me Sunday morning and say, my friend's going to Christian church, Dad, let's pray for him. He learned at our dinner table because we pray together, but he also learned it being the body of Christ.
Amen.
And this is why it's so important to not put I believe Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings should be vitally important to the family, your family. Even if it's not a lot of people, it doesn't matter. Even if it's not the most exciting things ever, we're teaching our kids far greater than we could ever imagine in those moments. So, got to go. I'm over. I'm out of my time. Y'all get to talk about whatever y'all want afterwards. And let me just say this. I really do not want anybody to think I was bashing you if you take your kids to the fair tonight. Please don't hear that. I was just saying for me and my house, this is where we're at. And I was just using an example for communication because this conversation happened last night and it was just relevant. Same thing with baseball, same thing with clothing, same thing with games, same thing with everything. It's these conversations happen. And don't just use your authority to be a boss. Use your position of influence to be a leader and guide them and educate them. All right, the first trivia question today, because we butchered the first break. What is the mystery that has been hidden from the ages? Paul speaks of it in the book of Colossians. What is the mystery that is hidden from the ages? Paul speaks of it in the book of Colossians. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
All right, we are back here for this next part of the broadcast, and good things ahead this morning. Still here with Brother Jacob and myself. So thank you all who are still tuned in listening to us. We got at least one amen this morning. Miss Elizabeth, she should still be tuned in with us. But it has been a good morning. I've really enjoyed this topic of communication, and I think everyone needs to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something that we need to not only hear, but we need to learn how to do. Because I think that where the Lord's taken us, you know, he reminded us that with our young adult Bible study that he wants us to come into a unity. And with that, you know, Jeremiah brought up, we're only as strong as our weakest member as a body. You know, we are only as strong as our weakest link. And so that means that we really need to be for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we can help strengthen each other and communicate and all these things. And I believe it, even the thing about the things of the Lord, it's not just relevant to one area.
Yeah.
It applies everywhere.
True.
Because his word is the foundation of life in general. And, you know, I just think about how, you know, your family is only as strong as your weakest member of your household. You know, your household is only as strong. Same thing with our actual church corporate meeting, but also, you know, the body of Christ. So it applies in each area. And I mean, our families make up the church. So it goes across the board. And I think it's this morning, you know, the Holy Spirit has just woven all these things together, because even going back to the Casting Crowns documentary, I mean, we've talked about this morning about sticking to what we set, setting those requirements, those boundaries that we're not going to move on, and honoring that. And that's what they did. They said, this is what our conviction is, and we are not going to, we're going to be steadfast and immovable. And I do have a scripture for that. And that's basically what we were talking about with these other things that Aaron was mentioning, you know, being staying true to our conviction, really.
Yeah.
And the power of that is your kids will see whatever your conviction is, whatever your focus is, whatever the Lord has you focusing on, when you are consistent, like the grandma reading her Bible every day, or bringing them to church every single time, or, you know, having that family prayer time together.
Mm-hmm.
The more that it can become consistent and steadfast, the more that it will be a foundation for them, for their, I mean, that's how these other countries
you know, they train. They train up their warriors from the time they're little bitty.
Yeah.
And sadly, they're training them for bad. I mean, you talk about these terrorist groups. They have them in classrooms doing these things and consistently feeding them the same things over and over and over from the time they're little bitty.
Yeah.
And that's why they're able to grow into these machines.
True.
You know, but I think we can learn from the enemy in the way of, you know, if he is using strategies that are working more than we are, we need to, you know, rethink some things.
True.
Because that strategy was never his. He didn't create that. You know, the strategy is given to us in Deuteronomy. You know, talk about the word when you wake up. Talk about the word when you lay down.
Yeah.
Teach, keep it, you know, written on your forehead, basically. Keep it on your doorpost where you can see it when you're coming and you're going. And I think it's just that same principle. But I did find a scripture for it. I had a different kingdom corner. Might go to it, might not. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. the sting of death in verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that because that's what we're talking about this morning. You know, it might seem all those times like your kids are not listening or, you know, maybe I love the movie Fireproof. Like, I can't imagine after, you know, he has a turnaround and then he's doing all these things for his wife and it seems like nothing's changing. I mean, he's he's having to bite his tongue so many times because he'll do that, the act of kindness. He's following this book, you know, and then she just keeps getting meaner. Her heart's still hard.
She's hardened.
So she keeps not responding. But God's doing a work with every little act of kindness, even though her mouth showed that the labor was in vain. You know, she made it seem like all that labor, all his work of trying to woo her back, that it was in vain. That's what the enemy would want us to think. He wants us to look on the external of what's happening. But what God was doing is what he couldn't see. God was working in her heart, and he was chipping away at that hardness, and it was wooing her, even though she was fighting that and not wanting to show it. And it's the same thing with our lives in any area. When we are laboring for the Lord, when we're being steadfast, we're not being immovable, we're continuing to show up and do what he's leading us to do time and time and time again. I like to stand on these promises of the Lord. That first of all, his word won't return void. So if we're speaking and praying his word over the situation, it's going to accomplish something.
Yeah.
You know, and we all have free will. I talked to the kids about this the other day and their eyes were just bug-eyed at me. Like, I don't know if I've heard that before, but I believe what the Lord has shown me, that if we speak the word over a situation and we're praying the word over somebody, if their free will, they choose not to say we're praying for somebody to be saved. And we're speaking and declaring the word, you know, how it says that you're train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. That child does have a choice to depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
And say that that child doesn't, you know, come to the Lord, even though we spoke the word. I believe that that prayer will never go wasted. And I believe that the Lord could use that prayer to end up drawing someone else to salvation, whether it's their child, like your grandchild one day, whether it's somebody that's connected to them that they may have rejected that living prayer that was prayed over them. But I believe the Lord can use it to accomplish it in someone else that's related to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I feel like the Lord showed me. And, you know, it might sound weird, like, well, how does that happen? But I don't know how it all happens. All I know is I believe God, and God said that his word won't return void.
Exactly.
So it has to accomplish something. It has to accomplish something because it was spoken out there. And I just believe that the same thing with knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that is something that I stand on every single day whenever I want to give up. Know that anything that I've done for the Lord, it won't burn up in the hay and stubble.
Mm-hmm.
If it was truly, genuinely done out of obedience, I can know that it will not be wasted, that it won't be done in vain. It won't just disappear, and the Lord is going to accomplish something with it. Whether it is, and it, I feel like these things usually happen when we least expect it.
Sure.
You know, I love what Jacob, you shared one day, your kids said, you know, the thing they remembered about their dad, or I don't know, I'm probably butchering it, but something about how you love people.
Yeah, that's what they
how said. They love about what they love about their dad. And, you know, I feel like those things probably a lot of times come at the those confirmations or those that seed growing and producing something usually comes at the time that we least expect it, because you never know when a seed is gonna sprout up and produce something.
True.
You just keep watering, you just keep sowing the seed. But you know, that's the beauty of it, is we just got to keep being steadfast and keep laboring, and then we can be confident that it will, the produce will come.
True.
We just don't know when. And I believe the Lord's always on time, so I believe that it comes at the time we most need it sometimes. You know, that comment from your kid, the Lord can use them to speak encouragement to you on a day that you're having the worst day possible, and then you hear that.
Exactly. I think sometimes we we always want to see the fruit of our work.
Mm-hmm. Fruit of our labor.
We want to see what, I mean, it's kind of the generation we're in, and I feel like sometimes we just don't look at, if you'll just look around you, because sometimes I feel like maybe we look at people, I mean, I've been guilty of it, we're just kind of like, man, I just don't know, God, you know, how this is going to work. People just don't want to hear no more. The church is declining. Nobody has an ear to hear. They're just not, you know, they're just different than they were before. And I think the word Christian has been thrown around so loosely anymore. But anyways, back to the story. I think what's happened is we got to start remembering that what we're doing, we may not see the fruit of it right now, but it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll just keep sowing and keep pushing, don't give up, keep running the race, I believe we'll see the greatest outpouring that we've ever seen, because people are looking for authenticity. And like Aaron, I heard him say that maybe it's the separation of the wheat and the chaff. I said, I think God had to get rid of some things. Sometimes we look at decrease as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a good thing.
Pruning.
He's pruning. And then the explosion happens, you know. Because you got to get rid of the ones that's infiltrated for the wrong reasons. Because God's going to, I said, you know, the other day I said, Lord, expose anything in me, expose things in the church, expose those who are against what you're trying to do. Expose it to the fact that, hey, maybe they'll come back to repent. Because I think repentance has to happen in these last days. Repentance has to be the key thing. We repent for the way we've done things. We repent, turn away from what we've done before, and change the way that we think on how we go forward. And I think it's like, I feel like sometimes we think we've got it all figured out. And the older I get, the more I say, Lord, I don't know nothing, you know, without you. I told Kirsten the other day, I was like, man, the more I feel like I think I know, the more or less I know. Because I said, I lean not on my own understanding. Because I feel like the more I try to understand, the more it takes away from leaning on him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we don't want to understand what God's given us. I'm saying there's things that just don't make sense.
Well, understanding of the word, the Spirit has to reveal it anyway.
Exactly.
So we can't, there's a scripture, the Spirit, basically that the Spirit cannot the flesh cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit.
Yes.
So even that, you know, with that kind of understanding, people will maybe try to come against that. We can't even understand it without the Spirit.
I just don't want them. I don't want people to take this book and make it natural,
mm-hmm.
because it's not. It's living. It's mm-hmm. powerful. It's more sharper than any two-edged sword. It's supernatural. It's something that, to me, I feel like I want that awe of God, like mm-hmm. where it's not boring. Because I feel like that's where we've been at, in a way. Maybe that's why people are not excited, because we've made it the
watered down stuff.
I don't even know if it's watered down, but we've made it boring. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not that lifting up, like, I'm like, we're supernatural people. You know, that's what we are. We're seated in heavenly places. I don't care what you try to say. Well, we are supernatural. Mm-hmm. We are, when you're born again, that's supernatural. That's, I mean, you tell that to somebody out here that don't have any clue. What are you talking about? You're born again. You know, you can't be born again. Just like when, what was it, Nicodemus that came to Jesus, you know, how do you do it? That's why I'm like, let's go back to, let's show people.
Yeah, when did we actually start saying saved so much?
Yeah. It's almost cliche. Like, those people are boring. You know, like, I don't want to have nothing to do with the church because, you just got to give up life and life is so, ugh. I'm like, man, you don't have any idea. I don't know who's representing you, but the Bible is alive. And the things I said, if you could just let me open your eyes into the Spirit, I wish I could. I wish I could just, like, God, take them on an adventure in the spiritual realm. I said, if we seen what John seen, we'd probably be, whew, you know, in Revelations, that would, man, God, you're awesome. How you written all this stuff and how you've, figured it out from here to here to and everybody's story, and you've numbered every hair on in my head, and you know this and you know that. And that to me should, that I'm talking about, make the gospel come alive to people.
Us. Yeah.
Not, it's like, well, we got to do this.
Excite us to, like, shout, but, like, excite us to learn more.
Yeah, like, it's like an invitation. Like I used to hate reading books, but unless it interested me. And I wanted that something to pull me in, you know. And I think maybe sometimes it's been the deliverer, the one who has presented this to me. So it's kind of like, some people just bore me, you know, and I'm going to sleep in church or something like that sometimes. And I told Kirsten, I was like, I'm not trying to say that every message or everything has to be, but like, excite people about what God is doing, you know, show them that, because we're not boring people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. We're peculiar people. We're different. Show people that. Mm-hmm. Show them a better way.
And the biggest thing is letting the Spirit totally take over and take over your body, really. I mean, it sounds like to other people like possession, like crazy. But like, if you're submitting your voice to the Spirit to speak, I mean, have you ever just heard, I mean, I know that Aaron, without him ever telling me, I know that he prays. I know when he is praying and consecrating his voice to the Lord, because the Lord will just be straight firing. My spirit has a witness of it.
Yeah.
Whenever someone is letting the Spirit speak through their every word.
Yeah.
And it's like when you really take your hand off of it and let the Lord speak, He will captivate the attention of those whose hearts are already stirred or already open to hear.
True.
And it's like, there's nothing that can break that focus.
True.
And it is exciting because it's like, what is he going to say next? What's he going to say? How does he know this about my life? Like, I just talked about this yesterday. Like, this is a little spooky. Is there cameras around? Like, you know, and not like a bad way, but like, it's that wonder of like, nobody was there but me.
True.
Like, nobody knew that I talked about this. I've never talked to him about this, but he's speaking exactly. And there's many people in a whole sanctuary that live different lives. And that's the allness of God, is he can speak that same way to every single person who has been through different things that week. And yet it can be the same word that is activating something in their spirit.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that's not boring, is when we let the Spirit take such a control or using your voice as a tool, basically.
Yeah.
is because, and that's when he starts to, I mean, I have to check myself, because if it was up to me, I'd be like, Lord, like, give this preacher words of knowledge every Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, give him this prophetic, because I love the prophetic. I love the words of knowledge. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the woman at the well, like, these things of, like, you're not supposed to know that. The only way that you know that is from the Lord. But not only those types of words of knowledge, but, you know, those things that are like an on-time word. You know,
yeah.
we read, you know, a prophetic word. Me and you both love Nate Johnson around here.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if I've ever read something from that man that was not stirring my spirit and speaking to something in my life.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. That's not boring. Like, when it comes from the mouth of God, when it comes from, you know, heaven, and it's opening eyes to see something, that's what is exciting. And so that's just what I see.
Well, let's go on this real quick. I'm going to read something he penned, because it's real short. He says, I'm convinced that the reason the enemy is going hard after the voice of the church and its pure and raw sound right now is because we are at a threshold where if the worshipers, prophets, and intercessors release their sound and push back against the opposition that is raging, we will not only counteract, disarm the plans of the enemy, but we will break through into a realm of authority that changes the power play at the church in a broken world. That's what Mount Carmel was. It was a transition point where those in hiding come out, and God showed up and shifted the balance of power back to the righteous when it was in the wrong hands. That is not a moment for us to be trying to sing cute songs, write fluffy words, or sit in circles holding hands. This is a moment to engage, lift our voices as a weapon, knowing that we decree, sing, and pray as legislated and establish. And it's just rise up. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I was telling this to Brandon the other day, Brandon Goose. I said, dude, just don't ever forget that your gift may be the key to somebody's things that God does through you will be the key to somebody's breakthrough. I said, when you're playing that bass or whatever you're preaching or testifying or doing whatever God's telling you to do, or playing the guitar or singing a new song, whatever God's using you to do, you could be a key to somebody's breakthrough. That gift that God's given you, you use it for the glory. And I said, you never know what it's doing. You never know what that gift is doing. And I remember just a while ago when you was talking, I seen this man running in my head. I see, it's like, you ever seen like when people show like they're in this space-time continuum, I guess I could say it's like a blur, and you see all these different years going past them and they're running. I seen this man running like that, and I seen him seeing things of God, and he's throwing it back, and people were catching it, and he was running the race, and he's throwing it back. I don't know why I seen that in the spirit, but I kept thinking, Lord, let us run the race. Mm-hmm. And when we grab hold of something, we're throwing it back to the next person, and we're not trying to keep hold of it and hold on to it for ourselves. You know, we're getting it, we're seeing it, throwing it back, keep running, and they're running as fast as they can, and people are trying to keep up with them. And it's like, it goes back to what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Mm.
Run as hard after Jesus like me. I'll throw the nuggets back when I get them, but keep running. Let's keep running this race together. And I think that to me is like what we was talking about, the fathers and sons. Mm-hmm. The father's getting something. He's throwing it to the sons. The sons, hey, I'm taking what my father's giving me, you know. And Jesus even said that. I only do what I see my father do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's that order that has to come back.
That's so good.
And taking them nuggets and saying, hey, let me, throwing them back to your kids or your the spiritual sons and daughters, throwing them back, let them taste of it and see it. And it's almost kind of like giving them the strength to keep running.
Mm-hmm.
And because, I mean, it was the forefathers that ran before us.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't explain to you how much Brother Ron meant to me, because he seen a teenage boy who just got married, and he seen me different than everybody else, because he seen the prophetic calling on my life. I didn't have no clue what it was. And sometimes there's bad representations of the prophetic, but he seen something in me that I didn't even understand and he pulled it out like none other. Larry pulled it out of me too. They all pulled it on me, but Brother Ron just, it was that apostolic anointing that pulled out the prophet. And he says, Jacob, I remember him telling me, he said, we got to get close because apostles and prophets got to be close together. They got to be knitted together. They work together because where it talks about they'll build upon the apostles and prophets. And I was like, man, that just hit me so hard through my walk. And I was still young. I was hearing this older guy is like saying, I need you. I need you here with me. And it meant something to me. And it helped raise me up. And he told me one time, he said, son, you'll see things a lot farther than everybody else. He says, you got discernment beyond your years. And he said, you'll see things far beyond anybody else. And he said, you got to give them time to catch up. And that stuck with me till today. Yeah, I mean, it still sticks with me. And I think what it changed my mindset in saying, like, if I see something, don't get upset at people because they don't see it yet. And it stuck with me, like, hey, I'm going to be consistent. You know, especially when I'm playing those drums, I'm like, they don't understand what I'm doing. They don't understand what I'm trying to do. They don't understand I'm trying to beat something off this place. I'm trying to beat the walls down off this place. Literally. I want to just blow the walls out where we can just, Emmy, you have no control over this house no more.
Amen.
So,
you need to send that one thing to Aaron about Nate Johnson said. That word was really good.
That was good. That was really good.
So Jacob's trying to beat the... Jacob's trying to beat the strongholds off them everywhere, playing the drums. I like that though, because it brings up a good point. Like, you know, doing everything, and you were talking about B Goose using his gift, like using it to the glory. We don't know what God's going to use that. Yes, He's going to use it to touch people, but we don't know what is happening in the spiritual realm.
Yeah,
when we use our gift.
I know when he hits that B chord, it does something to my earphone. I'm like, man, what did you just do? You messed the whole thing up.
I wonder what it's doing to the spirit.
Well, good. So good conversation then, huh?
Yeah.
Great chapel. It's a good chapel. We talked on five aspects of being a disciple of Christ. And so praying for those kiddos. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 14, count the cost. Count the cost. Mm-hmm. And why would you start building a tower if you didn't count the cost?
Did y'all build a tower?
We tried. We laid the foundation at least. But yeah.
That's the main thing.
Amen. Well, have heard anything from our potential guest this morning?
I don't think so. We got a call, but I believe it was for a trivia.
Oh, okay.
For trivia, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
It
might not work out.
I see
today,
Ernie Vincent got it right. I see it on this paper.
Brother Ernie.
Ernie Vincent. What is the mystery that has been hidden from the ages? Paul speaks of it in the book of Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27.
Are we going to go to a break and come back?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we're going to take a quick break.
Well, I'll answer this comment. We come back.
All right. We're just a short break and we'll be right back. Hold on. Oh, wait a second. Let's do this. Let me pause that for a second. Let's read a second trivia question. We got time. Jesus compares the disciples' sorrow at his impending death with what? Jesus compares the disciples' sorrow, not his, the disciples' sorrow at his impending death with what? 270-257-2689. All right, we are back on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. All right, no answer for the trivia question yet, but Hannah, you said you had a comment you wanted to cover.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really a question, but I was just going to say, saw your text, Miss Lisa. She said she was in agreement with what Jacob said about the prophetic and just wanted to agree that most people can't grasp it.
Mm.
So that comment that you made about, or that Brother Ron said about, you know, letting people catch up and don't expect always that what the Lord is showing you, He's going to be showing everybody else at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I think he just reiterated back to what, if you go back and read, he says he does nothing unless he tells his prophets first. Sometimes, and I know that's Old Testament, but I think sometimes it's the prophetic that is hearing things and seeing things because they're looking into the spiritual side of things before anything else. You know, they're looking into realms that most people are not looking into. And
it's like you're, I see like antennas up. Your antenna is up to catch the
receiving whatever
to receive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always used to hear people say, I heard this. It says, the reason the church isn't grabbing hold of things is the receivers are broken. And it goes back to Revelation, those who have an ear to hear, let the hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. And I'm like, ugh. You know, are you hearing? Are you listening? Are you just talking? Are you talking all the time? You know, are you listening to the Holy Spirit?
See, I think for me, I mean, there's some people that have that prophetic gifting that it don't matter what is going on, their antennas up, and I feel like they just are always hearing stuff. I'm like, God, that man, how do you? I don't know how that works, but for me, it's like music. Like, I really believe that the Lord uses music to tune us in to that. And it's probably partly because it like drowns out some distractions.
Yeah.
But music, you know, can be used so much as a way for us to focus in and us get on his signal, you know, of what he's speaking. And so I think that's the thing is, I think, you know, tuning in to the right channel, getting on the right channel.
I mean, you ever think like when we're worshiping sometimes, and you're like, this is good. And then you get to this one place and you're just like, God's, you know, like you get to start singing and worshiping this song and it just hits different this time. And I feel like that's where sometimes we're at. It's like, wait a second. We can't get off this, you know, because, hey, this is where God's at. Let's keep pushing. He's doing something. And I remember, like, because then all of a sudden everybody starts playing like, where did that come from? Like, we all start coming into agreement. It's like everything's flowing together. Everything's, and you're like, this is where God wants us. Because sometimes I believe it's kind of like this. I used to say this because I think that he helps us. And when you're tuned into that right place, he's takes over. You know what I'm saying? It's like the Holy Spirit is, the whole anointing has taken over everything. And I believe he's pouring it out through that. And I've heard even like groups, bad groups, say that there was times that they were so stoned they couldn't do it. And then it was like they seen another man up there playing with them. So the devil joined them. And they were able to really push harder. And it was like he was helping them, you know, like to do his will. So we had the battle of the two kingdoms right here. Where, you know, if the devil can get people to come in agreement with him, he's accomplishing it. But we have something more powerful. But what's the problem is we only try to battle the darkness in our flesh or within with our own means. But you can't when you join in the spiritual and let God do the fight. And it's like the two kingdoms are clashing. I see that right now. But I was watching something with Isaiah Robin. He has like a news. He starts exposing some things. You know, there's some startling things about what the music industry does. And I didn't know that like some of the stuff they try to channel, like they do, they try to channel like things of old, like from like demonic stuff from the old days. There's people coming out now, like certain artists are starting to come out, like that. I think it started with that. What's the Alexander Crowley or something? He's like supposed to be the father of the Satanic Church. That they would try to channel in that stuff, like a demonic entity, for they can. He said, you know how people go up to, oh my goodness, look, it's him. And he's like, they would worship these people. I mean, they would worship like these artists, and a lot of these, I'm not saying no names, but big time artists would channel these things. And I've heard certain ones say she before she goes in a concert, she has to channel in this other person. And I'm like, well, you may call it that other person, but you're channeling demons.
Yeah.
And you're just basically tricking people into thinking, you know, like it's you, but they're worshiping you. And that's what demons want.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, is pretty wild stuff that you hear that you don't think about that. What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you know how there's bad fruit that comes from it, and there's evidence that it's not of the Lord. You know,
yeah.
If you listen to a song and then you end up feeling completely depressed and you were completely fine before you listened to it.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. or you, it's just a big, yeah, it's, I think it's one of those things that can definitely be used.
And I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, won't we just let the Holy Spirit just take over us?
Oh, yeah.
And just let it come out of us. Because we, yeah. That's more, way more powerful than what these things are doing.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, and I let it begin to let those things fall off of people. Things that, you know, and I always said this. I said, Lord, let, when I play the drums, Lord, let whatever's holding them back, whatever demonic thing, let it, me, when I hit that sound or that beat on that drum, let it just, not, let that demon not even just release its hold off those people.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I thought, Brandon, I was like, I gotta be careful. I get too excited. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna blow a hole in the bass drum because I get hitting it so hard. But I think that's where, if we'll let the Holy Spirit just take over, yeah. Everything, like everything in our lives, not just in church, but like at work. And I know it's hard sometimes when you gotta deal with so much stuff and you're stressed out. And I'm just like, if we'll just let Holy Spirit do what you wanna do, help me. And I, every time I pray that he's showed up and showed off.
What I see is like one act of obedience after another.
Yeah.
Because what it is, because like he'll lead you to like go this direction, or, you know, if you're playing, he'll lead you to do this. And then when you do that, it's like, oh, okay, you're there. Yeah, you're there. And it's the same thing in anything else. I feel like when we just follow the Spirit, you know, we don't know where the Spirit is coming from. Mm-mm. Or where he's taking us.
No.
But if we jump in that flow of what he's doing and we choose to just, okay, I'll choose this. I'll obey. Like, I'll choose this here. It's like, then I think every time we choose obedience, we can see a little bit clearer where the next thing he's wanting us to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like every time that we choose to get in the flow, it's like the flow becomes more natural, I guess.
Yeah.
And then like every step, like he's ordains the steps of the righteous. So every step, I guess, becomes, you know, more natural, more like secondhand.
Yeah.
The more that we do it, just like learning to walk.
True.
You know, learning to walk in the Spirit with the Spirit. But it is still a mystery. I mean, some things are still a mystery. But even, you know, I love the unpredictableness of the Holy Spirit.
Me too.
Because it keeps us from getting caught up in ourselves or leaning on our own understanding. And I think he's calling us to that, to leave. I keep what Aaron said. Was it leave the land of the comfortable? Is that what it was? Yeah. That just keeps coming.
Yeah.
Like, but it applies in everything.
Yeah.
it applies to every, if you let it apply to everything, it will apply to everything.
Yeah.
You know, because we want to, our flesh does not want to get into the unknown. We want to stay comfortable.
Now, a lot of times we want to order at the window, at the drive-thru and get it at the window 2 minutes later. You know, and we fuss because we have to wait 2 or 3, 10 minutes, you know, like what if it's God saying, you got to wait a few months.
Think about Noah.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
I just remember that. Thanks, Lord. But like, what?
I'm gonna build a boat, but it's never rained before. You know.
And then, but one day.
And everybody's sitting there going, "You're so dumb. You know, what are you doing this? What are you?
I mean,
you're
so
crazy,
much
man.
A big, just so much time went by of him having to not see any results."
Mm-hmm.
People think he's crazy, and then one day the rain.
It was just his closeness and knowing that God said, do this, you know, and knowing that his bloodline was the only bloodline that's saved, because everything else became wicked. And you just think about stuff like that all the time, you know, like hang on to the promise that God's given you,
mm-hmm.
and keep going, keep fighting. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep pushing, because eventually the floodgates are going to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And the windows of heaven are going to come down and pour down, and you're going to see the rain of God begin to fall. And I think that's why we just keep pushing, and we keep pushing, and eventually the floodgates are going to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it, because you think about that, like you can feel the anticipation of what God's about to do next. And I tell people, I say, I think that's what we need. We need anticipation. We need excitement. We need expectation of what God's, hey, just get excited about what God's going to do next in your life. And in the ministry, in the world, be excited. Because the thing of it is, God is so good. And I love how God is doing. I'm a work in, I just see it in so many different people's lives. But I heard this thing the other day about, he says, what happened to being saying things are good because God said it, and that's good. You know, everybody's like, well, I'm good, but you want to be great. He says, I look over creation, and he said, God said, it is good.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. You know, and everybody's always going after the, you know, this next best thing. And I'm like, God, if this is good for you, I don't care what everybody else thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, I mean, but it's being excited about the kingdom and what God is about to do in this, in the next, I believe in the next few months and years, that I believe God is realigning some things. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we started talking about what Aaron was talking about earlier this morning about desiring the offices of things. I believe God is raising up things, and mm-hmm. it's like a steering. And I keep going back to that where it says, stir up the gifts that are within you.
Mm-hmm.
Stir them up in each other. Begin to stir up the gifts of somebody yeah. else. Because I said, we can't do this alone.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. I mean, we
and that's
each
the
other.
Thing about, he was talking about overseers or, you know, the pastors. Like, the cool thing about that is, you know, it is an honorable thing, but also God will use someone that you're surrendering your whole life, you know, to that office in the different offices. Like, he'll use you in the prophetic.
Yeah.
He'll use you in the,
yeah.
he'll use you in whatever he wants to use you in. And there's, it's very useful too. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's why we just got to seek God out and pay attention to what he's calling us to, because he has so much in store. And especially when it comes to the gifts, you know, he desires to give his people the gifts. And Paul tells us to earnestly desire these gifts for the purpose of what it can, how God can use it. And really, I think when we start focusing on the things of this earth is when we start to get off with the gifts. But when, like you were saying, when we're so like set on the supernatural, not even on as much the demonic side, but when our face is set to the supernatural of heaven
yeah.
and of God, that's what keeps us rooted with our gifts, because we are seeking to get closer and closer and closer to him. And these gifts even help show us different parts of who he is
yeah.
and a way to kind of connect us with him.
Yeah.
And that's when we start to grow closer to him, is when that it becomes just a way to even bring us closer to him. It's like, he's the main thing.
Yeah.
Like, these gifts are just tools and ways that we can help others, but also ways that we can learn more about him and feel close to him and receive from him. But it's literally just the antenna or the vessel, the way. But like,
yeah.
when this supernatural longing that we have, he is the most supernatural. I think we forget that.
Yeah.
God is the highest supernatural being that there ever possibly could ever be, because he's creator.
Yeah. I mean, that should wow you in itself. I mean, just, he spoke into himself basically to bring forth all of what we see naturally. But it was spoke through the supernatural.
Can you imagine what that looked like? I mean, no, we can't. Like, none of us can imagine. But like, it's really fun to try to think about what some of this looked like.
Yeah.
Of God. Like, I mean, and we can't. But like, I don't know. It's just that awness of like, all of the, he just spoke and these things started to.
Yeah. Planted the stars, planted the trees and the waters, and told the waters how far they could come up. You know, just like, that's a masterpiece that people can't even just fathom, really. I mean, just like, what you think and create in your mind is nothing compared to the creator and what he created. You're just a tool. You know, you're just a, mm-hmm. you're seeing a piece of the puzzle. And I'm like, he's put together this masterpiece mm-hmm. that he did it for you. He did it for you. He put this together to give us life and life more abundantly. He put everything in, like, we take it for granted. We take the air that we breathe for granted. We take our family, the friendship, the love that we share. We take it all for granted when he's given us these things. And I feel like the enemy's just tried to come in and tried to pervert everything. Like, they're not really your friends. They don't love you. They don't do this. They don't do that. It's always like he doesn't want you to grasp hold of the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want you to hold on to what God has done in your life. He doesn't want you to understand that you're fearfully and wonderfully made in his mm-hmm. image. He doesn't want you to think, because he is mad and he's seeking out and he's trying to devour you because he is upset that he was cast out of heaven. I mean, at the end of the day, he is upset because in his ignorance, he thought he could be better than God.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he could be bigger than God. And we got a lot of preachers that think that sometimes, you know, in America, but I'm sorry, you know, it's like you're just channeling basically him. He thought he could rise up, and he took a third, like, the stars with him, you know. And the big tail come up and, you know, I'm just sitting there thinking, because they lent their ear to him just for a moment. They let the enemy, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, I sit there thinking, if you'll just shut him off. Don't listen to him. Quit listening to the lies of the enemy. Because what God has chose you to do, something far greater than you'll even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
He has called you, and he put you exactly where you need to be right now in this moment. And don't take, if you're working this job and it seems like it's just not, I said, just lift your hands up and thank God for where you're at.
Because
God's got something better for you each time. He's got something for you if you'll grasp hold of it. And I think that, you know, just don't ever let the enemy to try to make you identify. Just like, I mean, I know we're getting close to time, but think of the identity crisis we have right now. Mm-hmm. When you don't understand if you're male or female. When we got 500, whatever, how many genders they think there is. Identity crisis that people don't understand if they're, they don't understand anything of who they are anymore. You know, it's just like the identity crisis. And I said, find it in him. Who you identify, find it in Christ.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's called you to do. And that's what that I feel like if we'll hold on to that, I think that identity in him will set you free from a lot of things that you think that the devil keeps telling you are. You know, I mean, how many times people, I mean, I've had it, you're never going to amount to nothing, you know. That's a dead-end job. I said, yeah, I may be where I'm at right now, but I said, God's got me exactly where he wants mm-hmm. me to be. I said, there's no doubt in my mind he guided my steps exactly where he has me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I thank God for where I'm at. And I said, but he's got something better, I know.
Yeah.
And we always think that. We should always think that. And it ain't about trying to make more money. It ain't about trying to be more successful. I said, I want to just go where God has me to go,
mm-hmm.
no matter where it's at.
And when we already have, like, the occupying, I don't know that word. If we already have the word of God occupying that space in our mind, when the enemy tries to speak that stuff, we'll have no place to land. I think Aaron kind of talked about that, something about having a place, not giving it a place to land on Sunday. But that's the awesome part of it, is because before, when we were ignorant and futile in our thinking, as the Bible would say, we didn't realize these things.
Like, true.
But when we have the word in us, it's like, I love in the Lord. It's like he brings us higher to know mm-hmm. that, oh, same trick. I've heard that one before. I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
Enemy, like that. No, this is what the word says. And that's how we start to walk in that identity, is when the word has taken occupancy in our mind. And that in our mind is really that. Where we're at with the mind is really key, I believe, right now.
Yeah, true. I agree. Yeah, I'm like, I mean, even identifying as father and son.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's nothing wrong with being a son, to submit to your father. you know, father, submit to your son. It's okay. What is he doing over here?
He's taking a stand.
Oh, goodness.
He's got a, little do we know, he's got a little treadmill under there.
Probably. He's doing that sway in church, you know, like, you know how you get that little sway?
Yeah, the sway in the prayer circle.
I mean, I know sometimes people think I'm crazy, but when I pray, it's like, and I didn't know this, when I, because I get the rocking,
rocker, the holy rocker.
Supposedly Jews do that when they're praying.
Really?
Jewish people. I don't know what it is, but they rock when they pray. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing it.
I wonder why we do it too, because I don't try to do it.
It's almost natural. Like it, like you're trying to get something out. Like it's something working up, you know,
yeah.
Unlock the river.
It definitely happens during worship for me, during worship a lot and during prayer. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, let's pray real quick. Is it okay? Mm-hmm. Or, yeah. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord. We just honor you. We just thank you so much of who you are. And Father, just thank you for just choosing us and thinking of us and always being there for us. Thank you, God, that you've given people in our path and put people here. And thank you for the fathers and sons that are rising up in this hour. And Father God, that you're sending out a wake-up call to so many. Father, awaken the church, awaken the watchmen, awaken those, Father God, put them back, Father God, that you're not finished yet, Father, with them. Lord, let them understand that they're just the beginning. Father, no matter how old they are, how young they are, God, raise them up, Father God. Father, put their antennas up where they can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in these last hours, Father. We thank you, God, that you're raising up so many men and women that are on fire for you. God, I ask you to set a flame under their soul. Set a fire up underneath them, Father, like never before, God. I ask you, Father, to birth something in them, Father God. Oh, God, I hear in the Spirit, I see it, Father God, that there's birth pains happening right now, that we're about to birth something in the spirit realm, Father God, that we've been pushing for so long, God. If we'll stay steadfast and we'll just keep pushing, that Father, that the floodgates of heaven are going to open up, Father God, and begin to rain down, God. I see it, Father, in the Spirit, God, that you're retraining our brains on how to see things, God. Oh, God, and why the enemy tries to come in to try to get us in a place where we just don't think it's working anymore, God, that you're just saying, oh, just hold on just a little bit longer because I'm about to come in like a flood. And Father God, I just thank you, Father, that it's happening all over the airways, Father, that we're breaking walls and bringing things down, Father God. Every high place must come down right now in the name of Jesus that has a hold over people's lives and over churches and over regions. God, that we see, Father God, that you're coming in like a mighty rushing wind that's going to sweep across this nation and all across the world, that you're bringing the gospel, Father God, like power and demonstration, Father, like you, Father, we did it in the scene in the old and the new, Father God, that you're bringing the latter and the old together. The former rain and the latter rain is coming. I see it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we call forth to the giftings and the callings out of people's lives. Father, we pull it out of them in Jesus' name. Father God, begin to raise up, Father God, the generations. Father, raise up the generations to come together, Father, to fight this battle, to fight the good fight of faith, and to run that race, Father, like we're supposed to, Father God, alongside and cheering each other on, Jesus, like I seen in the Spirit, throwing those things back. Keep running and throwing those things back and letting the next generation hold on to those things. We thank you, God, and we bless you, Father, and we give you all the praise. Have your way in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's been a great morning. Blessings to you and yours. Praying for your kiddos today. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Miss Hannah. It's been a great day in the presence of the Lord. Go be a disciple of Christ. Make other disciples. See the glory of God come. See strongholds be pulled down, arguments be cast down, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. We love you. We bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.